This is KVNF's regional newscast for Thursday, September 9th. I'm Gavin Dahl. 3 weeks after students and teachers returned to in-person classrooms in the Montrose County School District, 200 students and 18 staffers are in quarantine. Within the past 2 weeks, 25 students and 3 staff members have tested positive for COVID-19. MCSD Public Information Officer Matt Jenkins tells the Montrose Press they expected COVID to continue but didn't know what the Delta variant would do. The district's goal is to continue in-person instruction at schools, but they've not reinstituted a mask mandate and community vaccination rates remain low here. Delta County School District maintains a COVID dashboard, but they do not include the number of students or staff quarantined, nor do they distinguish between the two. They failed to update the dashboard last Friday afternoon, the published date when updates are expected, despite positive cases at the Montessori School in Crawford. Sometime in the past 48 hours, they finally updated their dashboard. 6 people are confirmed positive in Crawford and or Hotchkiss, with 2 in Paonia and 1 in Delta. Still no reply to KVNF's request for comment from the principal at North Fork Montessori. Meanwhile, all August and September outbreaks in Mesa County are in schools. Vaccination rates there are some of the lowest in the nation. Coronavirus deaths and hospitalizations continue to rise in Colorado. More than 860 people were hospitalized on Tuesday afternoon alone. That's the most patients since a winter surge that peaked in January. Governor Jared Polis said last week 90% of people seeking emergency treatment have not been vaccinated. The state is launching a grant program to help primary care doctors administer the vaccine and paying grade school students to regularly get tested for the virus. One Colorado county's public health department took 3 mobile COVID vaccination clinics off the streets after staffers were harassed while providing inoculations over Labor Day weekend. The Denver Post reports medical staff working at a mobile vaccine clinic in Gilpin County, 30 miles northwest of Denver, were yelled at, threatened, had garbage thrown at them, and their temporary sign was run over by an angry driver. The public health director said the department will now only set up mobile vaccine clinics in places with security. Many county clerks in Colorado have received a vaguely threatening letter. Its distribution appears to be part of a strategy by election conspiracists to pressure clerks and defend the actions of Mesa County Clerk Tina Peters, who remains in hiding while under criminal investigation for violations of election security protocols. Colorado Newsline reports the letters are partly typed and partly handwritten. Clerk's offices across the state find that letter alarming. Chaffee County Clerk Lori Mitchell had bulletproof glass installed at the front of her office in Salida and asked the Department of Homeland Security to conduct a security assessment there. The number of reported hate crimes in Colorado spiked to 283 last year from 231 the year prior, a 22% increase. Nationally, hate crimes have risen every year since 2017, the majority against Black people, according to data released this week by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The FBI does not follow up and collect data about hate crime prosecutions, reports the Denver Post. More than 160 new state laws took effect this week. As KVNF's Scott Franz reports for Capitol Coverage, one creates new fines for people who do not call police when their guns are lost or stolen.
Democrats named the new law in honor of Isabella Joy Thallus. The 21-year-old Denver woman was shot and killed last year by a man using a stolen rifle. Representative Leslie Herod led the push to penalize people who do not help police recover missing weapons.
$25 fine for the first offense. That's it. That's all this bill does. But it honors Isabella's memory and hopefully will change behaviors.
Gun owners have 5 days to report missing weapons. The fines increased to $500 for repeat offenders. Republicans opposed to the changes, saying they were not needed because most gun owners are already acting responsibly. This was one of 6 gun bills advanced during the past legislative session. I'm Scott Franz.
Farmers who need extra time to get their applications in for crop insurance have made their voices heard in the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Kate Redmond has this report.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture has made some changes to crop insurance and has extended deadlines for agricultural producers to make those changes. Whole farm commodity protection is a safety net for farmers who can now protect all their diversified crops rather than a separate policy for each crop. Risk Management Agency Acting Administrator Richard Flournoy discusses how input from policyholders led to updates with the pasture, rangeland, forage, and the apiculture pilot insurance programs.
We are making some updates to pasture rangeland and forage, as well as the apiculture pod insurance program. Those are designed to help producers protect against lack of participation, whether it's for their livestock or their honeybee operations. This fall, you'll have an additional 2 weeks to talk to your agent to make those insurance selections. And we made that based upon feedback from producers throughout the country, particularly in the West, that said that middle of November timeframe, they're really busy getting ready for winter, and an additional 2 weeks would be helpful. So we went ahead and made that change. So you'd have to December 1st. Also, we're revising our definition of veteran, farmer, and rancher for these programs. If you're a veteran and your spouse is not, we're making changes to allow that entity to qualify for the veteran benefits. That's another issue we've heard about. As well as for those organic producers out there, or those transitioning to organic coverage, we're allowing you to get that coverage if you've requested by acreage reporting date that you requested an organic certification. You don't have to have it complete by that date, but as long as you have the request made, you'll be able to get that coverage. And that's also one that we've heard about in the field that we're making changes to address.
For KVNF, I'm Kate Redmond.
Lowering the cost of health insurance is a top priority for Colorado voters, according to a new poll. Eric Gladys reports.
Coloradans are increasingly concerned about rising health care costs, according to a new poll. It found many Colorado families are struggling to pay bills even if they have insurance, and that cost burdens are disproportionately affecting communities of color. Chris Keating is president of Keating Research, the group that produced the survey for the group Consumers for Quality Care. He says when pollsters asked what word comes to mind when they think of health care, most respondents said expensive.
1 in 4 of Coloradans currently have an unpaid or overdue medical bill that they are struggling to pay off. It's a burden. Among Latinos in Colorado, nearly half say they have an unpaid medical bill.
And 75% of the Colorado voters surveyed said the cost of health care continues to rise each year, with out-of-pocket costs, such as deductibles, premiums, and copays, major barriers to accessing care. Across party lines, a majority also supports recent state legislation designed to rein in rising costs. The Colorado Standard Health Benefit Plan Act would create a public health insurance option if the industry fails to meet cost reduction targets. The polling, also done in other states, shows the pandemic has had a significant impact on how voters view the nation's healthcare system. Jim Manley with Consumers for Quality Care says polls in the last year indicate more than 8 in 10 Americans believe COVID-19 has exposed flaws in the healthcare system.
Obviously, the pandemic is driving a lot of healthcare-related issues, but I think it's pretty clear that, especially in the wake of a COVID pandemic, voters want to make sure that their insurance is affordable and protects them, especially if they have pre-existing conditions.
Manley says voters nationally were more concerned with healthcare costs than costs related to childcare, higher education, housing, and retirement. National polls also showed strong support for elected officials to keep insurance deductibles low enough so they don't get in the way of receiving quality care. 9 out of 10 Colorado voters agree. This is Eric Gladys reporting for the Colorado News Connection. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
That does it for Thursday's KVNF Regional Newscast. Special thanks to Kate Redmond. I'm Gavin Dahl.